We're going to read from Acts chapter 2, from verse 36 to the end of the chapter. So, page 1094, and I think this is Peter the Apostle speaking. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, may God bless his word to us, and may he bless Adrian as he speaks in a few moments. Before he does.
Well, good morning again. Twice in one morning. Thanks to our musicians for leading us this morning, and for Chris for leading our service. Do turn back to Acts chapter 2, will you? That passage that we read a few minutes ago. A very key passage, as you'll see this morning, for... In a sense, what I discern is God's New Year message to us. So Acts chapter 2, please find it in the Bible. It's on page 1094, and we'll be coming to that in just a few minutes. So here we are, 7 days into a new year. How's it going? You don't have to shout out an answer, it's okay. How's it going? 7 days into a new year. New Year's resolutions... Still going strong. See, Christmas lights are still up in certain places. And Easter eggs have appeared in the shops. Have you noticed that? Easter eggs all over the place. Easter is coming before Christmas is even finished. Last Sunday night, a group of about 70 of us met to bring in the new year together in the context of communion. It was a very special time together. And as part of that time of worship and communion, we inevitably took some time to look back over the past year. And it's very difficult, isn't it, to enter into a new year without looking back, at least glimpsing back at the past year. I think there's something inherent in all of us that makes us do that. And I guess looking around this morning, for some of us last year, was a really good year. It's one of those years when you just say, I'm really grateful to God for his goodness to me over this past year. And for others of you, because we're a very mixed group of people, aren't we? It was a really difficult year. Perhaps one of the most difficult years yet. Some of us, including myself, obviously, have lost people that we love in the last year. And that makes things like Christmas and New Year quite difficult, isn't it? Others of you, perhaps, as parents, struggling, not quite knowing how to parent your children, how to be wise in the decisions that you need to make. And perhaps that applies to some of you as grandparents as well. Or maybe health not being great. And so last year, as you glimpse back at last year, you think, you know what, wasn't a great year. Kind of glad 2018's come. And then for many of us, I think New Year's often tinged with regrets, so sort of past failures sometimes. I know I find that as I look back over the years, I find sometimes my past failures kind of come back to haunt me sometimes. Mistakes that I've made, not being the kind of person that I... expect myself to be and expect God for me to be. And you kind of look back and you regret some of the decisions that you made and some of the missed opportunities and the times when perhaps you weren't a particularly faithful follower of Jesus Christ. A new year does that to us, doesn't it? It does sort of cause us to sort of put our head a little bit back over our shoulders and just to look back. But the good news, my friends, this morning is that we are here to look forward. Are you glad about that? We're going to look forward this morning into what comes in this new year, because one of the great things about the Christian faith is this, that the Christian faith is always pointing us forward. One of the things I love about being a follower of Jesus, because the story of God is constantly pointing us forwards. The big story which we looked at probably this time last year, we started to think about God's big story, didn't we? We looked at creation, we looked at fall, redemption and restoration, that day when God is going to wrap up the history of this world as we know it. And Jesus Christ will return, not as a baby, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus says, I'm going to make everything new, a new heaven and a new earth. We are moving forward towards new creation, my friends. And here's the good news. That if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, if by faith you have placed your life in Jesus Christ's hands, you become part of that big story. And that big story lifts you this morning, regardless of your circumstances. It enables us to sort of lift our eyes above the parapet, because we are now part of God's big story. We are part of that journey. We are moving towards that point when Jesus will return. We have a sense of a bigger picture and a bigger perspective. We glimpse things that we didn't see before we came to faith in Jesus Christ. And we see that now we are part of God's big story. We are a people who are moving forward. And the New Testament is packed full of living hope and forward directions. Here are some of my favorite verses that point us forward. I love this one, Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Here's Paul writing from a prison cell. His circumstances are pretty dire. He's chained to a Roman soldier. But here's his hope, this story that propels us forward. He says, but one thing I do, he says, I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to strain towards what's ahead. I'm going to press on towards the goal. I'm going to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. There's a forward-looking direction, isn't it? For a man who's in prison for his faith in Jesus Christ. Here's another one of my favorites, Philippians 1 verse 16. I often go back to this one. Sometimes Christian faith is kind of one step forward and two steps back, isn't it? Sometimes it's one step forward and four steps back. But here's a lovely promise. Being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion, the day of Jesus Christ. You need to hear that this morning? Some of you smiling and nodding? There's a wonderful promise that if you're a follower of Christ, he will complete what he has started in your life. There's another forward-facing promise. Or Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where he can't contain himself any longer. Peter's one of those characters that knew all about failure. He let God down. He let Jesus down, didn't he? He denied him. He said, I don't even know this man exists. And he was wonderfully reconciled to Jesus. He knows all about failure. And he writes this a little bit later on in his own life. He says, praise be. It's almost as if Peter can't contain himself. He says, praise be to the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Living hope. That's what we have as the followers of Jesus Christ. Not based on wishful thinking. Not based on hoping things will get better some point at some time in the future. But living hope anchored to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is a story that's always pointing us forward. Towards the end of his earthly life, Jesus gathered his group of disciples around him who were quite heartbroken and concerned about the future, what was going to happen next. And they see Jesus go to the cross, and they've seen Jesus being resurrected from the dead, and then Jesus says to them, I'm going to leave you. And so he brings them together and he gives them a commission, a message, a vision which will propel them forward into the future. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then this wonderful promise, I will be with you until the very end of the age. What a wonderful promise that propels us forwards. is God's heartbeat for his church, this great commission as it's sometimes referred to. And it's reflected here in our own church in four very simple words that are outside our church building. Helping people follow Jesus. Four very simple words that are anchored to this great commission of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. And as we look into this new year together, I want to remind you that these four words that are on display outside our church this morning are not just words. They're not just part of a pretty image to kind of make us feel better about ourselves, or words that appear on a PowerPoint or across the top of our website or across all of our communications. These words sum up God's rescue mission for a broken and fallen world, helping people follow Jesus. It is a vision that is based on the words of Jesus himself, which is designed to point us forwards, to give us a sense of purpose and direction and meaning to everything that we seek to do as a church in this coming year. Wonderful to get our leaders up this morning. Wonderful for us to see this group of men and women who have committed themselves to serving our church family here. But my friends, vision has to be more than words. It has to be more than words on a notice board outside our church, more than words on our website, more than words on the PowerPoint this morning in front of us. Just as this vision which Jesus gives to his disciples in Matthew 28 also needed to be more than just words, something else was required. And Acts chapter 2 brings us to that something else. So please grab your Bibles. Have it open in front of you this morning. Look at Acts chapter 2. Let's see what this something else is that moves vision from words to action. And see how it can propel us forward as we head into a new year as a church family together. You see, this vision in Acts chapter 2, you begin to see how it suddenly begins to spill out all over the place. This new and emerging community of Jesus' disciples, a group of people who, as you begin to read through the early chapters of the book of Acts, they couldn't stop talking about Jesus. They were described in verse 38, if you look at verse 38, as baptized, spirit-filled followers of Jesus Christ. That's the something else that moves vision from words to action. Baptized, spirit-filled followers of Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 2 makes it clear that this vision that Jesus gives to his church isn't something that just happens. We don't drift into vision. It doesn't happen all by itself. It's great to have these four words which are shaping more and more of what we do together as a church, but we won't drift into it. It doesn't just happen by itself, any more than it just happens from Jesus' words in Matthew 28. There are two very significant words in these verses, in verses 42 to 47, which really tie these six critical verses together. Here's the first one. The word is devoted. It comes again and again in this passage. They were devoted to this cause. That means they gave everything that they had, that they were intentional about what they had been called to do as the followers of Jesus. It's a very strong word. And the second word that ties these six verses together is this word together. You can't miss it, can you? That everything they did, this early community of believers, by this stage there were over 3,000 of them, don't forget. There was a sense of togetherness that marked out their life together. And this word devotion that Luke uses here means that they gave their full attention to these things. In other words, there was an intentionality about their commitment to this new and exciting community of faith. In other words, vision doesn't just happen. We need to devote ourselves to it, just as the early disciples of Jesus devoted themselves to Jesus' calling. And here in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to go through these verses fairly quickly this morning, it's not new territory for us. We've been here before, and we come back here on a regular basis because here we get to see what it looks like to be a community of God's people who are serious about following Jesus. There is a devotion to following Jesus. There is a commitment. There is something which is required of us. The bar is raised. We don't just drift along through life. So come with me and you can follow your handout as we work our way fairly quickly through these six things together. But you'll notice what they are. They're not difficult to spot. So here's the first one in verse 42. This group of early Christians were intentional about growing as the disciples of Jesus. Luke says to us, doesn't he, in verse 42, he says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They didn't just sort of slide in and out. They just didn't sort of pick and choose. They devoted themselves. They said, we are all in. We are all in. We will give our attention to these things. That's what devotion means. And one thing becomes very clear as the book of Acts begins to tell its story, that where there is no preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ, there is no church. And here in Acts chapter 2, the church of Jesus Christ comes into existence through the preaching and teaching of Jesus. My friends, we cannot help other people to follow Jesus unless we ourselves are followers of Jesus. Unless we are growing as the disciples of Jesus. Unless we are devoted, unless we are intentional to growing as the disciples of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, as we head into this new year, how will you become more intentional about following Jesus? About growing as a disciple of Jesus? You will not get fed automatically. Sometimes I wish that it was a much easier journey, that God would somehow just sort of zap me, and suddenly I become a different person. It doesn't work like that. It's hard graft following Jesus. But how are you going to do that this year? What are you going to use in your desire to get into God's word that will help you to learn and to grow as a follower of Jesus Christ? It doesn't just happen, much as we wish that it did sometimes. So how will you do that this year? Because that's one of the marks of this early church. This is a church that God blesses and explodes. One of my prayers for this church is that many people will come to faith in Jesus Christ in this year. But it doesn't happen by itself. Here's a group of people who are intentional about growing as the disciples of Jesus. That means being here when we teach and we learn and we grow together. It means visiting our website if you miss stuff that's going on, so that you don't end up getting sort of 1 and 5 and 7 of a series. You get the whole thing that God is saying to us as a church. It means making time, making sure there's a priority, being here together. That's what devotion means. So I'm going to do something about this. So we raise the bar for a new year, my friends, being more intentional about growing as the disciples of Jesus Christ, so that these words, helping people follow Jesus, are not just words on a board, but they're actually beginning to change and affect our lives. There's the first thing. Secondly, getting carried away, I'm a bit too excited this morning. They were intentional about the time that they spent together, their together times. Verses 42, 44, verse 46 talks about being together as a church family. It's hard to miss that sense of togetherness. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship of prayer, and it talks about being together in verse 44 and 46. Something that including the breaking of bread and prayer, something that we're going to do tonight at 7:30. My friends, why is it that so few of us come to communion on a Sunday night? I don't get it. One of these really important times that keeps us in touch with each other, that keeps us in touch with Jesus and his death and his resurrection. One of the most moving times I've experienced as a church has been at these communion services on Sunday night. Their together time, there's an intentionality about the time that they spent together. Some of those times were in large groups, verse 46, like we're doing this morning. Some of the times that they spent were in one another's homes, but it was something that they saw as a priority. And we're going to do a piece of work this year that looks at how we can spend more time together, learning and growing. Not just in home groups, but perhaps in twos and threes and smaller groups, so that actually we can get involved in being more in this together. I can't help feeling that we've lost something of that sense of togetherness, that we don't see it as a priority anymore. Suburban living tends to divide us and separate us. It's part of living in suburbia. It's horrendous from that point of view. We can end up with neighbours that we hardly speak to, or who hardly speak to us. For the early church, being together was a priority. Why? Because it created a sense of belonging. It created a safe space where people could love and be loved. It created a space where people could encourage each other and support each other and build each other up. Let me ask you this morning, is there something that you can do to become more intentional in our together times? 4 words on a notice board will remain 4 words on a notice board, unless we're more intentional about following Jesus Christ. Intentional in growing, intentional in the time that they spent together. Thirdly, intentional in their praying together. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is probably one of the areas of church life that worries me the most. You see, praying together is an expression of our dependence on God. It says something about us. I'm sure, like me, you've heard the little saying that says, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. I want to see more of God at work as we head into this new year together. Look what Luke tells us in verse 43. He says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. I want to see God doing the unexplainable in 2018. I want to see God doing things that we have no rational explanation for. I want to see signs happening that point people to faith in Jesus Christ. Not signs to satisfy us, but signs that people recognize how great God is. I thank God for the faithful groups of people who meet for prayer on Mondays at 1 o'clock and Saturdays at 9 o'clock. Can we be more intentional about our praying together? If those times don't work, let's find something else that does work. Fourthly, they were intentional in sharing what God had given them. This is very challenging, verses 44 and 45. They were all together, verse 44. They had everything in common. And verse 45 says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Following Jesus introduces us to a radical kind of generosity. As here, they literally began to sell some of their possessions. Why? To ensure that the growth of this community happened and that God's vision was fulfilled. Now, it's not suggesting that we all go away and sell our homes. That's not what this passage is saying. What it seems to be, because they were still meeting in people's homes, so they always had homes to meet in. I think it's suggesting to us that actually they went away and they began to sell some of the excess stuff that they had so that God's church could grow. Intentional decisions about how best to use the gifts God has given. Today is a really good day to say thank you. We come to the end of another year. God has met our needs financially. Thank you so much for your generosity over this last year. One of the great encouragements I got while I was away looking after my dad in November was an email from Pete. He said, I'd like you to know that on our Thanksgiving Day, we gave over £15,000. Well, I figure right? Yeah. Fantastic. A great encouragement. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving out of what God has given to you. We cannot do what we do here without your generosity. But this is a new year. Helping people follow Jesus requires us to be intentional in what we do, and that includes the giving out of what God has given to us. Can I ask you, in the light of this passage, will you reflect on the intentionality of their giving? And think about your commitment financially. Think about your commitment time-wise. Think about the use of your gifts over this next year. Vision doesn't just happen. There is an intentionality about it. Same is true of Jesus' vision in Matthew 28 and here in Acts chapter 2. The same is true of the words that we have on our notice board. Helping people follow Jesus will not just happen. We don't slide into it. Number 5 in this passage, verse 46, intentional about their worship of God. I love this. What a wonderful snapshot of a discipleship lifestyle. Every day, it says, they continued to meet together and in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now, we can't necessarily meet together like that every day, but you see what they were doing when they met every day. They were putting God first. Wasn't just when they met, it was every day it happened. Intentional about worshipping God. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your neighbour as yourself. Now you know from our series that we did last year on counterfeit gods how difficult that is, isn't it? It's so easy, isn't it, to take the good things which God gives to us and turn them into ultimate things. To worship created things rather than the Creator. But there's an intentionality amongst these early Christians. We said, we're going to put God first in our living. That's going to affect what happens during the week. Every day, they did something which meant putting God first. What would it mean for us to become more intentional in our worship of God this year? I said, actually, you know, in my life, I'm going to seek to do all that I can with the help of God's Spirit, and we'll come to that in a minute, to put God first. To try and love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. And finally, in this passage, Acts 47, or verse 47 of Acts 2, they were intentional about helping people follow Jesus. I love this verse. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow, what I wouldn't give to see that happen here at Crofton. As the story of the early church is told by Luke in the coming chapters, we discover that this is a community of people who can't stop talking about Jesus. Gets them into all kinds of trouble. Gets them locked up. Gets them put in prison. But they couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Which brings us right back to the vision which Jesus gave to his disciples at the end of Matthew 28 as he sought to point his disciples forward to give them a sense of meaning and purpose. And it's the same for us. We need something that's going to point us forward. It's great having these words outside our church building. It's great being able to capture the essence of what we're about, but unless we're going to become more intentional about what God calls us to be, then these words would just wash over us through another year. Acts chapter 2 points us forward. It sets the direction. It shows us what's possible when God's Spirit is at work. This passage here in Acts chapter 2 starts with God's Spirit being poured out on God's people. We can't do this by ourselves. And Luke says to us, they were devoted to these things. They gave these things their full attention. They were intentional about them. They were in this together. So let's just pause for a few minutes. Let's just take that sheet which we've handed out this morning and just think for a few moments about how we could actually take some steps this morning. This is very practical this morning. About what steps could we take in this coming year that will help us to be more intentional about following Jesus. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. These sheets are designed really this morning for you to take away and to reflect and to pray over and to think about how you can be more intentional, more deliberate in the things that we're looking at here in God's Word this morning. Here they are on the screen this morning. More intention about growing as the disciples of Jesus. That's something that you can do. That's actually going to help you to do that better this year. And you're one of those people who finds it very hard to read the Bible, to get into the Bible. Get some really good, helpful aids. Get some things that help you to do that. There are so many really good apps available today. If you're not sure, come and ask. Sarah will find you something, no problem. I'll find you something. But sometimes we need help. Attention about together time, making our times together real priority and building our lives around our together time so that our together time doesn't come last or somewhere in the middle. Intentionally in our desire to pray together. We pray on a Monday morning and Monday lunchtime in that glass area at the front. We pray there deliberately because we want to pray out into our community. Join us if you're free during the day. Can't do that, come at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. If these of those times work, come and talk to me and we'll find something else that does work. More intentional in sharing what God has given to us. More intentional in putting God first in our lives. More intentional in helping people to follow Jesus Christ. Take this away this morning, my friends. Pray over it and say, Lord, what do you want me to do in response to this morning? Don't set targets that are unachievable or unrealistic. Set something that's realistic. Something that with God's help you can do. So that by the time you get to next Sunday, you haven't been discouraged altogether. These are great verses in Acts 2 to put in front of us as we head into a new year together. Because they are verses that point us forward. They show us what is possible when God is at work. We are part of a story that is always pointing us forward. Isn't that good to know? We're not part of a world that's going round in circles. We are moving towards a point when Jesus will return, not as a baby, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible speaks about new creation and God making everything new. That's where we're going. It's a story which becomes part of our story when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. Our friends, I don't want these four words simply to remain on our notice board. I want them to shape the way we do church together. I want them to shape the way we grow together. I want them to shape the way we meet together, the way we pray together, the way we give together, the way we worship together, the way we spend our time together. And on our determination to help other people follow Jesus, to share what God has done for us in our own lives. So here's the challenge on this first Sunday morning. It's quite a big one, isn't it? But here we are. The start of a new year. We've stood together on a number of occasions over the last 4 or 5 years to make promises before God. A set of promises at the bottom of your sheet that are going to appear on the screen now, which I'm going to invite us to stand in a few minutes. And if this is the desire of your heart, then affirm this promise as we make it together. But we're going back to where we've been before. And we start here by relying on the power of God's Holy Spirit. The Christian faith is not about trying harder. I don't want you to get that impression when I talk about being more intentional or being more devoted. It's not about trying harder. It's about God changing us from the inside out by His Holy Spirit. Taking characters like Peter, who can write, "Praise be to God who's given us living hope in Jesus Christ," when he knew all about failure and mistakes. When you rely on God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Second question this morning, will you devote yourself to following Jesus? If you look at verse 38, Peter makes it very clear how we come to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, I'm not sure how to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure how this story can become my story. Well, Peter spells it out in verse 38. He says, repent. Turn away from living for yourself. Come to the one who forgives you, makes you new, and puts his spirit in you. Be baptized, every one of you. We're in a baptismal service soon. Maybe it's time for some of you to be baptized. That outward symbol that God has put new life in you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's where the journey starts. And here in Acts 2, we get to see how this journey of faith develops. We've got to see what it actually looks like. Will you devote yourself to following Jesus? Being more intentional about it. Doing something about it. Not drifting through another year. Final question this morning. I like this one. Will you recognize that we're in this together? This is not a solitary journey. Church is not a private individual experience. It's not about, as some of us used to sing when we were little, "You in your small corner and I in mine." Do you remember that, some of you? What a shocking song to sing as children. We are the body of Christ. We are in this together. We are family. Will you recognize that we're in this together? So can I invite you to stand as we conclude this morning? If you're able to stand, if you're not able to stand, please just remain seated. Please, these promises are only, if God is saying to you this morning, this is time to do this. This is time to reaffirm this. This is a new year. This is a new start. God is moving us forward as a church family. So if this is of your heart this morning, please only respond if this is for you, okay? Will you rely on God through the power of the Holy Spirit? We will. Our second question. Will you devote yourself to following Jesus? We will. And a final question. Will you recognize that we are in this together? We will. Please sit, and I'm going to pray. Father, forgive us, we pray, that it's so easy for us to drift through life week by week and month by month. and then to look back over our shoulders at the end of another year and wish we'd done things differently. So we pray this morning, Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will anoint your church family afresh by the power of God, that we might have a greater desire to devote ourselves to following Jesus Christ. Grow that desire within our hearts, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. And lead us into this new year with all of its challenges, with all of its ups and all of its downs, knowing, Father, that we are in this together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.